You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just when you thought he was gone, he comes back. Yes, this is not a Bracketology Wednesday, but we do have a bracket, so we need his thoughts. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Wednesday, March 17th, and it is not a Bracketology Wednesday, but our resident bracketologist joins us one more time. It is Kevin Sweeney, the man they know as CBB Central, back on the show to give us his thoughts on how Selection Sunday played out, what the bracket looks like. And he's not just a bracketologist. He covers college basketball with the best of them. So we get some of his thoughts on what he thinks the Big Dance will look like, who has the best path from the Big Ten, some upset alerts, all of that on this now not so much Bracketology Wednesday, but we'll call it Look Ahead to the Bracket Wednesday with Kevin Sweeney. Kevin, pleasure to have you back on the show.
It's great to be back, and it's great to have a field of 68 in hand. I don't have to check spreadsheets every like 6 hours. I'm loving life here.
Do you miss the spreadsheets at all?
Not at this point, not anymore. I think by like Thursday of last week, I was ready to like throw everything in a dumpster and set it on fire. So kind of glad that it's over. The bid stealers made my life even more difficult on Saturday and Sunday. So kind of happy that it's done. Happy I did it, but happy I'm done.
Oregon State and Georgetown, certainly confusing a lot of bracketologists. So Kevin, I ask you, Sunday, March 14th, 2021, our first Selection Sunday in nearly 2 years. How do you think it went? Were you surprised by anything that happened on Selection Sunday?
I wasn't like floored by anything. You know, I predicted 66 out of 68 teams correctly. I missed on Louisville, who I thought Syracuse would get that bid, and Utah State, who I thought that St. Louis would get that bid. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, I thought for the most part things went well. I mean, there was a couple of, you know, minor seeding things that I thought the committee kind of screwed up on, like Oklahoma State is a 4. Didn't make a lot of sense when they'd beaten West Virginia, who's a 3 twice in the last 2 weeks. Yeah, little things like that. But I don't think anything was too earth-shattering. I think the other good thing is, you know, we were worried, okay, we're going to have those alternate teams. What's going to happen? Are we going to have to slot new teams in late? And that doesn't appear to be the case. We're set with the field. Obviously, COVID issues could continue to arise, and then the team would get bounced out. But the 68 made it to Indianapolis, made it through their first initial quarantine period, and now we've got a group of 68 teams chasing that trophy. So I think all in all, nothing overly surprising and nothing overly earth-shattering from Selection Sunday.
I do have to say, outside of my Big Ten bias, I am a Syracuse alum, and you got me in some hot water on Sunday afternoon when I shared out, you are my resident bracketologist, and a couple of my Syracuse friends were like, this guy doesn't even have Syracuse in the field. How can you trust him? So respond to them right now, even though this is a Big Ten podcast.
You know, I was hung up on the quadrant one record. I really was. Sure. They were 1-7 against 2-1. I just thought the committee wouldn't reward them. But their net was boosted big time by that blowout win over NC State. The resume was pretty clean. And in the end, that was enough to get just by NC State or just by Louisville, excuse me, had a pretty comparable resume. You know, they would have been sweating. I think they were a little bit safer than I think anyone thought to get the bye was surprising after all the bid stealers. But, you know, at the end of the day, you take your losses, and the committee likes Syracuse a little bit more than I like Syracuse. So it is what it is. We'll see if they can show themselves well against San Diego State.
Hey, 66 of 68 is a darn good percentage, and that is why you are a resident bracketologist. But Syracuse does play in to a question I want to ask you about a Big Ten team in terms of seeding. Michigan State having to play in the first 4 play-in game tomorrow, and Syracuse and Utah State both getting the bye. Were you surprised at all by the committee putting the Spartans in that first 4 game in Mackey Arena tomorrow night?
Yeah, I was, particularly because of the, you know, significant you know, wins that they had. I thought once they beat Michigan, they were a lock for a bye. And the fact that them losing to Maryland after beating Michigan mocked them into the play-in round, and again, there was a little bit stealer action that impacted things, you know, says to me that if they hadn't beaten Michigan, if they had lost those 2 Michigan games and then beaten Maryland and then lost to Michigan a third time, which is what I had predicted was the path they needed originally, that they wouldn't have gotten in, which would have been quite the stunner. I think the team with the 3 wins that this team has should be in the field, should be in a little bit more safely than they were. You know, it's certainly just challenging for, you know, UCLA to have to prepare for a team that's played as well as Michigan State has in recent days. I mean, this is a Michigan State team that does not play like an 11 seed right now. It doesn't hugely matter in the grand scheme of things. But, yeah, that was a seedless thing that I questioned. And proof there that the committee really liked the net ranking for teams like Syracuse, like Utah State, over the quality wins for a team like Michigan State.
And let me acknowledge my Syracuse bias here. Although the orange is in and I am happy, I do believe that Michigan State should have earned one of those final four buys into the NCAA tournament based on the quad one wins. Michigan State having five, Syracuse only one, Utah State only two, and Utah State and Syracuse both had quad three losses. Michigan State has none of them. So just so you know, although I'm a Syracuse alum, I'm still a Big Ten guy through and through. So now we transition to Kevin Sweeney, the college basketball expert, the man we know and love as CBB Central, and get some of his thoughts on what he thinks this NCAA tournament will look like in the coming weeks in the great state of Indiana. Out of the Big Ten teams, Kevin, who do you think has the best path to make a deep run in March?
I think it's Illinois because they're the best team. You know, they've been, you know, they look so good in Indianapolis this past weekend. You know, Curbelo continues to emerge. They're integrating Io back in well. Frazier and, you know, Miller and all those guys are really bought into their roles. I just think they're the most complete team out of the Big Ten. I'm predicting that they'll make the national championship game. I think they're that good. And so I think they have the best path of all the Big Ten teams. But I think, you know, Ohio State is a real path to the Final Four. I think, you know, Iowa could get to the Elite Eight, certainly. You don't love the matchup potentially with Gonzaga, but, you know, it's not a horrible field for them. You know, and again, I mean, I'm not hating on Michigan. Michigan's had some issues potentially with the injury to Livers, but you know they have Final Four potential as well. So I think, you know, really all the four elite teams in the Big Ten are well positioned. I just like Illinois the best.
Give me a percentage, because you were our man on our first ever Bracketology Wednesday as our resident bracketologist that at a time had the Michigan region, which had four Big Ten teams included. There is a chance, Kevin Sweeney, we could have an all Big Ten Final Four with Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, and Ohio State being four of the top eight seeds in the tournament and all being placed in different regions. They could have a path for an all Big Ten Final Four in downtown Indianapolis inside Lucas Oil Stadium. Give me a percentage you think that could possibly happen.
I'd say 5% maybe.
Okay, there's a chance, baby. That's all I care about.
If that happens, Big Ten Ben needs to be in the city of Indianapolis that weekend. He's got to find a way. I think if that happens, you know, I'll be there. You know, we'll hold court. We'll have some fun. But no, I mean, I think Iowa probably is the hardest pass because if they get through Gonzaga, and we know how difficult that game was for them the first time. You know, I think Michigan with the injuries, they have a difficult path. But you know, I'm mocking two of those four in, and it wouldn't be completely earth shattering for it to happen.
If that happens, I will get to Indianapolis. I will have my Big Ten hat in tow, and we will have a heck of a time with some good folks that I think might be there, like Hawkeye Elvis, Frank Garza, some other people from Illinois, all across the great Big Ten Conference. We will have some fun in Indianapolis. That is my word. Speaking with Kevin Sweeney, our resident bracketologist, now just one of our favorite college basketball insiders, about what we can expect for the Big Ten in the Big Dance. We talked about some of the best seeds that have a clear path or an easier path to the NCAA tournament. What about some teams from the middle group of the Big Ten Conference that you think might surprise some folks in Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, I don't honestly love a lot of the matchups that some of the Big Ten teams got, right? Like, I'm thinking, you know, Wisconsin draws North Carolina. That's a very difficult matchup given Wisconsin's rebounding woes. You know, I think Maryland drawing a UConn team that's probably a 4 or 5 seed when they've been completely healthy, 11-3 this season with James Booknight in the lineup. You know, I honestly think the Michigan State draw is a pretty good one. You know, BYU is a really good shooting team. You know, they do a terrific job, you know, with spacing on offense. And Mark Pope is one of the better young coaches in college basketball. But you know, that's a team that the Michigan State could overwhelm a little bit athletically and really put in a difficult spot with how they're playing on the interior. You know, then you're staring down, okay, maybe you have to play Texas, a Texas team. Again, they played well in the Big 12 tournament. Before that, they had been struggling. So is there a path there to maybe a Sweet 16 or more? I mean, obviously people are going to talk about, you know, Tom Izzo's successes in March and for good reason. But I think just with the way that the bracket plays out, I don't hate the road for Michigan State, you know, especially compared to some of the other kind of mid-tier teams here in the Big Ten.
It is a Bracketology Wednesday, but not quite a Bracketology Wednesday. It's a look ahead to the bracket with our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney. And he is bringing the confidence after a great weekend in Indianapolis, covering the Big Ten tournament and getting ready for Selection Sunday. If you want to bring confidence as well, Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is your unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in discreet packaging. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problems here. Blue Chew's tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct to you, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence in this month of March, as we all could when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And in this month of March, we come to you with specials, special deals for our listeners of this Locked On Big Ten podcast. You can try Blue Chew free, yes, free, when you use our promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, at checkout and just pay the $5 worth of shipping. That's BlueChew.com. The promo code is Locked On, LOCKEDON, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the Locked On Big Ten podcast. And in this month of madness, madness is everywhere. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market, for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on each and every one of their flavors. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. I say once again, madness everywhere, even a Built Bar bracket. Today's matchup in the round of the Sweet 16 is peanut butter versus coconut puff. Now, coconut puff, if you have not had it, is something you need to try. It is one of the best flavors they have out there. I love the subtle hint of coconut, and peanut butter is one of my favorite things in the entire world, but I still think I gotta give the bid to the enticing eight onto the coconut puff. I'm gonna do it. But if you wanna disagree with me, you can at BuiltBar.com. Go see their bracket and vote. We have the sweetest 16 in the round we're in right now. The enticing eight is on the horizon in the flavorful four, not to mention the championship. I mean, that's just good stuff. I love all of those puns. Shout out to the good people at Built Bar for making this a fun bracket in the madness. So go to BuiltBar.com to cast your own vote, or at Bar_Built on Twitter, and you will remember to use that promo code LOCKED15. Yes, you will. LOCKED15, LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and make sure to check back and vote to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. On this now, look ahead to the Bracket Wednesday, not quite Bracketology Wednesday. We're covering everything you need to know about the Big Dance, the Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament, and what the future might look like for some of the coaching ranks in the Big Ten Conference as well, with our resident bracketologist and college basketball expert, Kevin Sweeney. But what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well, with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Kevin Sweeney is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to college basketball. The bracket, the Big Dance, coaching changes, all of that. We continue to pick his brain on this look ahead to the Bracket Wednesday. Two of the spicier takes I have about Big Ten teams making a run in March is Purdue on the four line in that South region, possibly facing off against Baylor in the Sweet 16, and also Rutgers maybe being able to pull off the upset in the Midwest region over Houston to get to the Sweet 16. Am I crazy for either of those two thoughts?
I don't think you're crazy. I don't love the Rutgers play just because Rutgers has struggled lately. That's my only concern. And you combine the fact that Houston plays such a pressure-packed style of defense, such high-intensity defense, that I think could really disrupt what Rutgers does in the offensive end. But, I mean, if you're looking for a draw for Rutgers to match up with Clemson, who's been relatively toothless since the new year, and then a Houston team who's probably the least talented out of the two seeds, maybe they've been very good, and certainly Calvin Sampson, one of the best coaches in the country. But, talent-wise, they don't completely scare you. So, and they also aren't that big, which I think helps. Rutgers is a pretty big team. They have physicality up front. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's conceivable. But I think I like your Purdue take. A little less confident in Rutgers. But, hey, Rutgers basketball in the Sweet 16 is what everyone needs in their lives. So we'll see what can happen.
your family, your religion, Rutgers basketball in the Sweet 16. I do think Purdue presents an interesting matchup if they get to the Sweet 16 against Baylor, because Baylor is long and athletic on the perimeter and have some of the best wings in college basketball. But other than Big John, and I will learn how to pronounce his last name by the time we get to that potential Sweet 16 matchup next weekend, I think Purdue and Trevion Williams and Zach Edey off the bench can present a little bit of the challenge down low in some of the length and the strength they have on the post play and what that might mean for the Baylor Bears. But that will be a very interesting matchup potentially in the Sweet 16 and could even lead to a Purdue-Ohio State rematch for the fourth time this year in the Elite Eight. These are all Big Ten thoughts and Big Ten hopes we have heading into the Big Dance. So, Kevin, we talked briefly about Michigan. They are on the number one line, and rightfully so. But without Isaiah Livers, which seems like he will miss at least a portion of this NCAA tournament, where do you think Michigan's ceiling is now for the NCAA tournament?
I mean, if we just say Livers is off the books, you know, there's no shot he plays the rest of the way, which I don't know if that's the case. I think it's possible maybe he comes back. But let's just say, for the purpose of this conversation, he can't play. I think their ceiling would be now they can't beat Gonzaga, right? I think before they had a chance to do that. Now I don't think they can. I still think they could potentially get to the Final Four, though. That said, you know, the road is challenging, especially opening weekend. You know, to have to play either an LSU team that is loaded with talent. I mean, Javonte Smart, Trendon Watford, Cam Thomas, these are guys who are elite level scorers and elite level bucket getters, and you know, will cause some problems for Michigan, or a St. Bonaventure team that is incredibly well coached. They really defend it, and they have a big man in Oshuno Shuni, who I think will really, you know, not negate, but I think could cause some problems for Hunter Dickinson, because he's so long, he blocks shots, and if you slow Dickinson down, you don't have Livers. Where's the offense coming from for the Wolverines? So I think they're definitely very vulnerable. And then you'll be staring down maybe an Elite Eight game against, you know, Alabama. Alabama is such a high-intensity defense. That could be an elite game just with the way those two teams play, their competitive spirit. I think Alabama brings the juice as much as any team in the country. So, yeah, I think the path is really difficult for Michigan, especially without Livers. But, you know, they're still, you know, well-equipped with the players that they do have to make that run, at least to the Final Four. I think you lose your national championship juice without a guy like Livers, but the Final Four is still conceivable.
I think a lot of people are casting off Michigan a little bit too quickly here. I think that round of 32 matchup will be very difficult, whether it's LSU or St. Bonaventure, but I still think Michigan plays a great team brand of basketball, and they have all year long, even with Isaiah Livers a part of the rotation, that I do believe they are a second weekend team at the bare minimum and still could possibly win a couple games there to advance to an Elite Eight or a Final Four. So now I ask you, big picture, outside of the Big Ten, give me your Final Four, your national championship bout, and who will be cutting down the nets come early April inside Lucas Oil Stadium.
All right, so the Final Four, we've got Gonzaga, we've got Alabama, we've got Ohio State and Illinois. That brings us to Gonzaga and Illinois in the championship game, and in a tightly contested affair, Gonzaga finally cuts down the nets for the very first time. I know you wanted the Big Ten team, and Illinois has played as well as anyone, but look, like I've said this on a few different shows, I think Gonzaga is the best team we've seen in college basketball since the 38-1 Kentucky team, and really one of the probably 10 to 12 best teams in the last 20 to 30 years. And they have a real chance to do something special here.
Everybody has their kryptonite, and the 38-1 Kentucky team lost to who?
The Wisconsin Badgers.
Who are a member of what conference?
The Big Ten Conference.
Let's go, Kevin Sweeney. That's what I absolutely love. Before I let you get out of here, we have your thoughts on the Big Ten in the Big Dance. I want some of your thoughts about the Big Ten Conference and the coaching changes we have seen over the past 48 hours. Were you shocked at all that Indiana made the move to let go of Archie Miller?
I think it was one of those where it came through and you're like, okay, I wasn't totally sure that was happening. And then you sat down and you thought about it and you're like, that really had to happen. Just because, I mean, look, they were so bad down the stretch offensively. This is, you know, this is a program with such high expectations, and, you know, at some point you have to make a move. Now, where they go from here is the real question. I think one of the reasons I was surprised by it was that it happened so decisively on Black Monday, because I think there's a lot of people who expected around the industry, okay, Indiana, if they're going to make a move, it's because they have a guy lined up. And I still think, you know, when I talk to people around the business, you know, agents, coaches, et cetera, they still say, yeah, Indiana's got to have someone lined up. We just don't know who that is yet. And we don't think that it's someone currently coaching in the NCAA tournament. And we know it's not Brad Stevens. So, okay, so where does that go? I mean, it presents a lot of interesting questions. So is it someone in the tournament that we, you know, the buzz just hasn't come through yet on? Or, you know, could it be a John Beilein or a Thad Mata? I think Mata is an interesting name in particular. Mm. You know, I wasn't overly stunned that it happened. I was a little surprised when it happened and how decisively it was done. But at the same time, you know, it's amazing what, you know, rich people can do to find $10 million when they get tired that their basketball team's losing games.
Tomorrow is the day. 709 days since the April 8th, 2019 NCAA championship game between Virginia and Texas Tech. That was the last time we had action in the Big Dance. Tomorrow, that all comes to an end when we have the first four play-in games, including a Big Ten team, Michigan State, one of the number 11 seeds, or hoping to be the number 11 seed in the East region. And if you want to win some money, you want to lay down some wagers, make sure to do that at betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. College basketball is at the forefront. The madness is at the forefront. Make sure to go to betonline.ag for real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Did you know there is one lower seed? And when I say lower, by the way, I mean comparatively to the rest of the tournament. And I'll put this out there right now in the middle of this betonline.ag read to have you covered for everything. So we have this out there and stated for the Locked On Big Ten podcast. When I say lower seed, I will be referring to a seed that is lower in a comparative contest. So let's put this in example. A number 7 versus number 10 matchup. The 10 seed would be the lower seed. The 7 seed would be the higher seed. Yes, it is highly debatable across the college basketball landscape, but that is the precedent we will set here on Locked On Big Ten. The number 7 seed is the higher seed. The number 10 seed is the lower seed. The number 2 seed is the higher seed. The number 15 seed is the lower seed. So on and so forth for the rest of this NCAA tournament. So did you know, with that in mind, that the only lower seed heading into an opening round matchup that is a favorite is the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Yes, a glorious team out of the Big Ten Conference is the only lower seed to be favored in their opening round of 64 matchup, and that comes from our friends at betonline.ag. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights, a -1.5-point favorite over the Clemson Tigers in their opening round matchup in the NCAA tournament. So for that, and all the spreads and totals and lines you will hear, head to betonline.ag and make sure to use your mobile device or head to the website and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you put in the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Right now, our focus is March Madness. It is the NCAA tournament. But coming up next month is the NFL Draft. And are you ready for the NFL Draft? Join Locked On NFL Draft host Trevor Sikema and Benjamin Solak, great name, as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on radio.com or wherever you get your podcast. We continue on getting all the knowledge we can out of Kevin Sweeney. We do it each and every week. We did it for Bracketology Wednesdays. We do it here to the look ahead at the Big Ten bracket or the NCAA tournament bracket and how it features Big Ten teams, and with his thoughts on the coaching ranks in the Big Ten Conference.
A philanthropic donation. Yeah, our basketball team sucks. Here's some philanthropy for you guys in Indiana. Who's your source, by the way, that Brad Stevens has turned down the job? I've been hearing other things in Bloomington that he's still very much in the running. Who's your source?
And it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
Was it Brad Stevens himself on a Boston radio station on Tuesday afternoon? It wasn't.
I don't know whether Brad says it or not. You know, maybe his wife's been looking for real estate. It's hard to say.
I've seen the message boards blow up. Another coaching change in the Big Ten. Richard Pitino in Minnesota parting ways. This seemed a little bit more obvious, and Richard Pitino already found himself a new job on Tuesday, heading to New Mexico. What did you make of the Gophers making that move?
Yeah, another one that it just had gotten stale after a while. You know, I think Pitino is a solid coach, right? Like, he did a nice job in recruiting in particular to not only make inroads in the state, you know, getting NBA caliber players like Amir Coffey and Daniel Aturu, but also in the transfer portal with guys like Marcus Carr and Liam Robbins. And even before them, they had some, you know, good transfers. So at the end of the day, like, they just haven't won enough for the expectations. And there's a lot of people who want this job. You know, this will be a hot opening. You know, Mountain West coaches like Brian Dutcher at San Diego State, whose dad was the head coach at Minnesota, and he went to college at Minnesota. You know, he has a buyout negotiated exclusively to be cheaper if he wants to go to Minnesota, which is an indication that he wants that job. Nico Medved and Craig Smith are the two names you hear as well. Both, you know, Mountain West coaches, Colorado State for Medved, Utah State for Craig Smith, both of them from the state of Minnesota. You could throw Dennis Gates in the mix from Cleveland State. you know, there are some options here, but I would be pretty surprised if it's not Brian Dutcher or Craig Smith. I think those are the two names that really continue to surface when you talk about Minnesota. And again, you know, it's a good job. There's a lot there. The job loses some luster, if only because Indiana's open. You know, there was a chance at one point that Minnesota was going to be one of the best jobs in the market. Now it obviously won't be. You know, Indiana in its own league will surpass that. But, you know, this is a good job, a place you can win, a place with, you know, with resources to do what you want to do, and place, I think, with realistic expectations. You know, like it's not a, we have to win a national championship like Indiana. You know, it's a place you can do it, you know, do it and make the NCAA tournament relatively consistently. I think a lot of coaches will want that job.
Any credence to the Must Bus picking up from Fayetteville and heading up north to Minnesota?
I mean, they would love it. It would be a slam dunk. I don't think it's happening. I've seen a lot of people compare it to Brad Underwood leaving Oklahoma State early. I don't think it's a very comparable situation. I understand there's some family ties for Musset at Minnesota, but Arkansas is an elite job. Like, Arkansas is a great job. There's money there. There's incredible fan support. You can get players nationally. You can recruit nationally. And everything, you know, he can do everything he's doing at Arkansas at Minnesota, but he can do everything he could do at Minnesota at Arkansas. It doesn't really change your trajectory at all. So, you know, Arkansas will have to make sure they pay. But, you know, the story with Underwood at Oklahoma State was Oklahoma State, you know, gave him a really terrible contract. Like, his first contract was a terrible deal. It was cheap, and he wanted the extension right away. They, you know, dragged their feet a little bit, and he said, all right, I'm flying to Champaign. See you later. That's not going to happen with Arkansas. And he's building a great, great thing there. So I'd be surprised if Musk wanted that job. You know, is it conceivable? Yeah, but I think Musk can get an elite job. I don't think it will be Minnesota.
And finally, just quickly here, you were the person to first introduce me to Micah Shrewsbury, the Purdue assistant that is now the head coach at Penn State. Do you like that move for the Nittany Lions?
I'm not a huge, huge fan generally of the assistant coach who's never been a head coach. It's just, I just don't think it's worked really. I mean, you look at some of the Duke guys in particular, like Chris Collins, like Wojo at Marquette. You know, I had to do it. I really did.
You had to throw in Chris Collins, you proud Northwestern student, didn't you?
But there are a few there are a few other names out there that have all, you know, it hasn't worked great. So from that lens, you know, a little bit, you know, I don't love it. But at the same time, A, Penn State's probably the worst job in the league. B, Micah Shrewsbury is, you know, incredibly well-liked around the business. He's a really sharp offensive coach, has worked for two elite coaches in Matt Painter and Brad Stevens, is well-connected in that realm, and he will hire a very good staff, and he will need to go get players, especially if some of these guys stay in the transfer portal. I guess like Myron Jones, it could be a problem, but this is a rebuild and a good opportunity for Shrewsbury, who he's been in the mix for a lot of jobs, you know, A-10 jobs, Missouri Valley jobs in the past, hasn't quite clicked, finally gets his opportunity here at Penn State, and I think will do a very good job because he's such a sharp coach. He's incredibly well-connected, and, you know, his greatest recruiting tool, I saw a picture, you know, on Twitter surf, you know, going around, Shrewsbury might have tweeted himself, it's a picture of him sitting there with like an iPad with Jason Tatum showing him film. And that is the great recruiting tool because there are a whole lot of 16 and 17-year-old kids who would really like to be Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, and he is very tight with those dudes.
And if nothing else, possibly the best last name in the coaching ranks in all of college basketball, Micah Shrewsbury. I'm going to have a lot of fun saying that.
Kevin Sweeney is Coach Shrews. That's the buzz. Coach Shrews.
Coach Shrews?
Yeah.
Nah, Shrewsbury for me. I'll give him the full dignification of his last name as it was given to him. You know what else was fun? Talking with you one more time, Kevin Sweeney. Not a Bracketology Wednesday, but a look ahead to the bracket in the Big Dance, in the Big Ten, in the Big Dance with our guy, Kevin Sweeney, our resident bracketologist, but also just one of the best college basketball experts and insiders you will find anywhere. Kevin Sweeney at @CVB_Central on Twitter. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy all of the madness. The thing I love about Kevin Sweeney is I told him that last week after our final Bracketology Wednesday, he would be done for a while. I would give him a break, but I reached out to him. He came back on again. He is a great guy. He is back like he never left. We love Kevin Sweeney at @CVB_Central on Twitter. Not only a bracketologist, one of the brightest minds you will find covering college basketball all season long, but especially as we get set for March Madness. So that was today, a look ahead to the Bracket Wednesday. Coming up tomorrow on the opening day of action in the NCAA tournament, the first four play-in games featuring a Big Ten team, the Michigan State Spartans in the 11 versus 11 play-in game in the East region, Michigan State versus UCLA. So who do we turn to? two of our favorite people on this podcast, the co-host of the Locked On Spartans podcast, Matt Sheehan, and possibly Will Hunter as well, maybe with a further special guest. That comes up tomorrow on 2 for Thursday to get you set for the opening round. Yes, the first four play-in games of the Big Dance. So until we get to tomorrow, have a splendid Wednesday.